This is Leo Baybue at KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on the dial, ktwh.org online, wherever you are streaming the sounds of Greater Two Harbors. We're trying something today, a little bit of a free-range conversation with a guy who wears many hats. He used to wear a chef's hat, and he's also worn a radio host cap as the head chef on the Hot Dish Imperative that we had here at KTWH for 5 fun-filled years. I think they were. Well, let's cut to the chase and welcome Uriah Hefter to the airwaves, back to the airwaves. Hey, Uriah.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me back.
Oh, I'm really glad to have you. You know, we saw you elected to the city council. You're from Ward 1.
That's correct.
I was looking at your Facebook page from your campaign just today, checking back on it, that it was in the fall of 2022. So the city councilor is on the Two Harbors city councilor serving 4-year terms?
That's correct. All of us are 4-year terms.
So you're just a little over halfway through your
I am halfway through the 5K.
You're halfway. If you were being roasted on a spit,
I would be half done.
As opposed to half-baked, which
either way.
You never are. Anyway, this is, the satire aside, I mean, this is an important role in City Council Ward 1 already. And was it at the start of the organization for the year 2025 that your colleagues on the City Council voted you in as a City Council President?
That's correct. Yep. Every year, the Council President's favorite meeting is the first meeting of the year, because that's when they get to pass the gavel over to the City Administrator, and the City Administrator operates the meeting and takes nominations for the positions of City Council President and City Council Vice President. And I was nominated. The nomination was seconded, and I was unanimously voted to be the City Council President.
Marvelous. Not really a surprise, because you had kind of put your best foot forward in some way?
I try to help as much as I can. And I was approached by a couple different folks, asked if I would have some interest. And I thought that was a good opportunity for me to maybe learn a different aspect of the city council. So I like learning new things, and I like helping out. So it happened, and here we all are.
Yeah, I've been in a similar position before without any preparation or training. I don't know if there's a city council president training school.
And I can tell you this obviously from firsthand experience, the votes were cast and I was elected. I stood up from my chair, moved to the council president chair, and was handed the gavel and told to go in no uncertain terms. So the nice part is that we elected Councillor Robin Glaser as vice president. She is a at-large counselor and has served as council president the year before me, and had been council president several times before that. Actually, she's our longest serving counselor. She tells a joke that when she was first elected, that God was a small child. So she's been around for a while. But for me, and having her mentorship and her assistance in being president and being able to reach out to her almost ad nauseum and share some conversations and ask questions, has been super beneficial. So I really appreciate her. I'm happy we've got her on the council. I'm happy we've got her as council vice president. So it makes my job a heck of a lot easier.
Great. And now she doesn't have to hold that heavy gavel.
That is also, I think, her favorite part is that is that I'm doing it and not her. So.
It's naive of me to wonder exactly what your special duties are as council president. I would guess that maybe the actual organization preparation of agendas might come into play.
Correct. So the agenda gets organized. I typically meet with the city administrator. Agendas come out on Fridays. I usually meet with the city administrator before that. Right now it's Thursday. Some days it'll be Wednesday. Some days it'll be Tuesdays, just kind of how our schedules work. But sit down with the city administrator, review the agenda, make sure that there's nothing that gets left off of the agenda. If there's any backstory or additional information that is pertinent to a consent item as opposed to a new business item, if I feel that the council might have a better understanding of approving or not approving, depending upon how an individual counselor feels at the time about a specific item, I can certainly at that time make sure that that information gets placed out there. The other big responsibility of the council president is to assign all counselors to city committees and commissions. So that is the first big task for a council president to do. So that's done. Those committee assignments were handed out yesterday at our council meeting, and they will be affirmed at the next council meeting this coming Monday.
Okay. So just how many different assignment slots, commissions, and committees are there?
There are many.
People serving on many?
There are, yes. And as you or your listeners may know, we are down a counselor right now. We'll have
a special election.
Yeah. So the special election actually will occur in August. We'll have an election before that. We got four folks that are running for the council spot, the at-large council spot that we are currently missing. So we will narrow that down to two in April, and then those two will be on a ballot in August. So
interesting. We think of August as usually a primary time, but you're having
correct.
A primary in April.
In April, yeah.
And a concluding vote
right.
in August.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And that was, and unfortunately, that was as fast as we could do it with the resignation and then getting
sure.
the process going.
It seems
again,
a bit of a shame to be missing getting somebody on board who knows they're going to be there.
It really is.
How long will they be serving to fill out the term?
So they will have a two-year term. So
okay.
they'll be finishing up the same term that I was elected into in 22. So they'll be finishing up 25 and 26, and then we'll have the opportunity to run again or not, depending
hopefully
on,
they'll figure out whether they want to do so
hopefully
again.
So.
And
hopefully so.
Maybe yes, they would.
So yeah, so being a counselor short is a little bit of an additional ask of the six counselors that are on the council now. So I tried to share the load as evenly as I could and make sure that counselors not only got the opportunity to be a part of a committee or a commission that they had either been on previously or wanted to be on, but also try to throw them into maybe a new opportunity. So, I mean, I know for me, my first committee was the Utilities Committee that I was appointed to, and I at that time knew almost nothing. You could probably fill a teaspoon with my utilities knowledge, but I took from that a really great opportunity to have really thoughtful and informative conversations with some of our city employees and really learned a lot. And so for me, when I had the opportunity to assign folks, I looked at that, the Utilities Committee specifically, as a really good place for a new counselor to put their – you know, put their time in and kind of understand that side of the operation of our city. So for me, it was really informative, and I learned a lot there. And I am still on the Utilities Committee. I'm just a member. I'm not the chair of the committee, but it's a cool committee. You would think that some of those would be a little mundane or a little boring, but they're very much not. So that's exciting.
So your committees typically have three or fewer counselors, so
yep,
that you don't
correct.
Reach a quorum.
That's correct. So. Yeah, we can have three, obviously, being and we still don't even hit a quorum as it exists now because we only have six counselors. So as our city charter reads, and I did double check this before I assigned everybody to committees and commissions, a majority of counselors constitutes a quorum. So that would have to be four of us, even if we only
right.
have six counselors.
Right.
So, so three counselors on a committee. And then from there, we also have a bunch of commissions and a couple of boards. As an example, I'm the council representative for the library board, which I'd asked for when I first got elected. And I love the library with my whole heart. It is about my favorite place to go and visit in town. And they do an amazing job. So I will pitch the library ad nauseum at every city council meeting from now until I'm done. But it's a cool thing, and it's nice to be able to help where I can with the library board, and if they've got questions as to, you know, city operations or things that the city could maybe do to help them out more, or opportunities that they have to help the city, it's nice to be that person that can share that information both ways.
Sure, and I suppose when you have great passion for the subject, you know that you would like to help out, and sometimes you have to explain the hard realities that
yeah, oh,
are
for
faced
sure.
too.
Yeah, and but then that part can be difficult sometimes, but you also get to do share like great information. So as an example, we just finished up 2024, and the library, here's my fun library stat for the year. They checked out a little over 69,000 different items through fiscal year 2024, which is really impressive because there's about 3,700 active library card holders. So we have a very active library. Our library staff is amazing and can help you find anything you need. And we have a very active community that is involved in the library too. So to see, you know, 3,700 active card holders, you know, check out close to 70,000 items over the course of the year is impressive. And it certainly speaks to the passion for the library that our citizens have and the quality of offering that our library provides. So that's for me, I like to do that too. It's one thing to have to buckle down and do a hard thing, which we can do, but it's nice to share the successes as well.
Absolutely. We can't go through all the committees, Uriah. Try as we might.
I'd forget three or four of them, I promise you.
Yeah. And I suppose I was going to ask about various commissions can have any number of counselors, or do you have a defined
It is typically one.
Okay.
Usually just a council representative to that commission or that board. So I know that I personally have attended some of those meetings that I am not on just because I like to see what happens. And I know that all counselors are welcome at all of those meetings.
But
there is, generally speaking, just one singular representative from the council to that commissioner board.
Indeed. To look back a little bit to when you were first elected, it was during a kind of a tumultuous period in Two Harbors history.
It was.
A recall of a mayor and, let us say, a few more opinions than there were actual citizens in the city of how the city council was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And any thoughts about how things have settled down, how you feel the community participation, transparency, accountability factor
Sure.
seems to be shaping up?
Sure. I will say that coming into being elected in 22 and starting in January of 23, what I didn't appreciate was how much that weighed on the council at the time, how difficult a decision that was for them, how difficult it was to deal with. You like to see people show up to council meetings, but then all of a sudden if you go from the same semi-familiar faces or, 5 to 10 people at a typical council meeting to all of a sudden, somebody's at the door and saying, oh, I'm sorry, we've reached max capacity of 60-some-odd folks for this
room. The fire marshal is weighing in.
Correct. And that was difficult for our city administrator. It was difficult for councilors at the time. And going into that, I didn't have an appreciation of it then, but I certainly do now because it was a hard spot to be in. But we made it through. And we have a new mayor, Mayor Connor, who I personally enjoy working with very much. I think he's doing a very nice job. The council has settled in, and I can tell you that coming out of that first year was a good eye-opener and I think a good time to be involved in local government because we, did have to look and say, okay, obviously we had that bump in the road or that, call it what you want, but there's an opportunity for us to be a lot better, to be a lot more transparent, to share more. And the focus that is on that is much more intense and much more out in front than I had personally seen in years past not being on the council. So I'm glad we've taken those steps. We are, even silly things like there's the open meeting laws to make sure that councilors we're not emailing each other all at the same time and not letting anybody else know. So it's funny when I started, I completely made the mistake of hitting the reply all button once. It was like, here's the agenda comes out and, reply all. And I immediately got the, hey, you can't do this because this violates open meeting. No harm, no foul. It's no big deal. But then every email that has ever been sent, I think, by our city administrators after that, right at the very top says, do not reply all. It would violate the open meeting law, which is simple. But it's great. It's a small thing, but it is a good reminder to all of us that there are rules and we are required to follow them and they're there for a good reason.
Yeah, because even the appearance of a conflict of interest or violation of a meeting law is, in many people's eyes, that's all they need to say that there's a fire, that there's a conspiracy.
For sure.
That
for,
there are things sure. afoot that they don't want us to know.
Yeah.
And the trust building begins
absolutely.
With sometimes the letter of the law, that's the starting point. You have to observe that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as important as it is for me, and I certainly believe it's important to the rest of the council to speak with the folks that live in their ward, or if you're one of the at-large counselors, to speak with the city as a whole and speak with people about things that are happening and coming up and to get their thoughts and feelings on it. There is also a lot of comfort in communicating with a couple of counselors as well and bouncing an idea off of somebody and seeing if they think that is something that could stick or if it's something that maybe had been tried previously. Obviously, I've only been on the council for 2 years, so there have been a lot of things that have been floated in years past which were reviewed and either found to have some merit or not to have any merit at all. So it's nice to have not only that reasonable level of communications with another counselor or two, but obviously to have the communication with the folks that voted for you or voted against you, which are also very fun conversations.
Are they now?
I can tell you that the folks that and I don't think they voted against me because they just voted for the other candidate, which was Miles Woodruff, who's an amazing person, and he and I are friends, and I think he is actually running for the at large. So
okay, so
that's exciting. To have the opportunity to work with him again. I really enjoyed our conversations. I can tell you that I've certainly found that the folks that did not vote for me have somehow found my phone number a lot faster than those who did. So, but it's good. It's good to have conversations, even if you've got differences with folks. And 99% of the time, you can come to a good conclusion and work things out.
So if you're one of those folks who did or did not vote for Councillor Uriah Hefter, here he is today.
That's
on
right.
KTWH. And we're going to extend invitations to other councillors as the year goes by. I would be remiss if I didn't try to hone in on a few key priority areas. I know that as council president, maybe you can't carry as much water for any individual passion or priority item because you need to make sure that the city kind of addresses things in the order in which they need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, we had a meeting announced that I haven't had the pleasure of sitting through the entire video of, thanks to Jose Leon and Two
Harbors. Jose does a great job.
Public Access TV.
Oh, for sure.
THPAC.org, folks. There was a 90-minute meeting that was a combo meeting between the county, Lake County, mm-hmm. City of Two Harbors, and the HRA.
Yep.
And it seemed like it had a lot of potentially impactful things being talked about. I haven't been able to take in, absorb what all happened at that meeting. Would you kind of summarize, if you could, what that meeting was about and what comes out of it that we might see?
I mean, you know, in short, it was fantastic and we fixed it all. So that was great. Yeah. How easy
done.
Is that?
Okay.
Yeah,
so you have addresses of new houses and everything.
So we had a great. So this was a delayed follow-up meeting from a very similar meeting that happened a year ago, getting the city HRA and the county HRA together in a room. I certainly can't speak to years past. I wasn't an elected official. I tried to follow it as much as I could. And I think that both the city HRA and the county HRA admitted at that time that there were some opportunities that they could have worked together and, you know, just been a little more helpful for each other. And for one reason or another, those things didn't happen. So we'd gotten together a year ago and said, we don't want that to happen ever again. We want to be collaborative. We want to work together. We have great opportunities in Two Harbors. The county HRA wants to work with us and wants to do some fun stuff in the city. So that was that meeting a year ago. This meeting that we just had last week would have been Thursday, Wednesday, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It was really just a follow-up on that. I had a really nice presentation from the county HRA and kind of their budget, their goals, their strategy going into 25 and a little bit further. I got a nice update on the HRA house that they're building that is on 4th Avenue. It is nearing completion. Just some construction updates from them and how the process of the sale will work and how they want to continue to do some housing projects in Two Harbors. They identified a few sites that they shared for some different housing projects. So good things are happening there. A nice conversation about, you know, the potential for development, specifically housing development by a private developer, identifying some land that might be an opportunity for that in the future, and how the county could help the city with that and how the city could help the county with that. You know, a lot of the focus can be, or it seems to be, like on new housing developments. And we tried to boil down a little bit as to, and again, this would obviously all be up to a private developer. You know, if somebody buys land and wants to build houses, we will let them build whatever house they want. You know, obviously, as long as it fits the code, they're welcome to do as they see. But, you know, a good point of the conversation, which was raised during the meeting, which was super impactful and really smart, was, you know, we do have an aging community. There's a healthy amount of Two Harbors that is looking to retire if they're not retired already. And a lot of us have two or three story homes. And I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm not even close to retirement yet, but I'm already thinking ahead to, man, how do I put a full bathroom on my main level so I don't have to truck up my billy goat stairs, you know, a couple of times a day. You know, the focus being that if we were able to find a developer that was either capable or willing to, you know, build some one-story homes, we might see an influx of existing homes coming on the market because some folks would like to move into some one-level living.
Yeah, and they wouldn't like to move far away to do
correct.
So.
Correct.
They'd like to stay where
they stay
grew
in town,
up.
And there's not a lot of opportunity for that right now. So that was a big focus of the conversation, which was, again, it was super impactful and really well fleshed out and, you know, got a lot of head nods and a lot of agreeance around that conversation. And then the meeting finished up with a great presentation by the Friends of the Waterfront. I'm sure you're familiar with that group and the work that they've been doing over the past couple of years. And they gave a really nice presentation, more of an informational session as to what they've been working on over the point of the last 6 months. The folks they've been working with, obviously they got a really nice grant a couple years ago from the Citizens Institute on Rural Design. They also received a really nice grant from the University of Minnesota to work with the group called ESMC or EMS, Empowering Minnesota Small Communities, EMSC. Yes. And they actually have a coordinator. You could almost call this individual almost a project manager who has worked on tons and tons of really impactful design projects around the state and around the world. So having somebody like that with the knowledge of getting plans and timelines and all the way even through funding sources put together is really beneficial for them. And it honestly takes a bit of work off of the city, which is really nice. I mean, up to this point, all of the work that the Friends of the Waterfront has done hasn't cost anyone a dime. I mean, it's all a volunteer organization and they do a really nice job and they're really helping the city immensely with tons of different opportunities as we receive that waterfront property from the DNR.
So you have the citizens-based group that has had participation at a lot of the visioning and planning sessions by city council members, the mayor, and you've had a committee of the whole assigned to be part of waterfront development.
Correct.
And yet there are a lot of folks that also realize that a big new project just came on the horizon with the sale of that land to a potential hotel developer.
Correct.
And you have, I'm just describing a bunch of puzzle pieces, folks.
Yeah.
And we have the DNR land that is now coming soon?
Coming soon to a city near you.
We
anticipate that the transfer of the land will actually happen this year. So
okay.
So and I have a great side story regarding that when we get towards the end.
And there's basically at play is how much becomes true green space play and visitor and resident recreational opportunity, how much green space and where, and whether or not the DNR land can have some development on. I heard themes of that all being brought up, and yet the council in the end is going to make a lot of the decisions, or will it be not necessarily in your hands to make some of the decisions on what can happen?
No, well, we will. That will be... I want to word this carefully so, I mean, you know, we joked, I think, before this of, you know, what's the one sentence you say that gets you paraded right out of town? Yes, the council will make several decisions regarding the development, preservation, whatever ends up happening with Agate Bay. I also know, and I certainly can speak for myself, is that we are very passionate about making sure that we get all the voices in the room heard. An idea that was floated and talked about at the city HRA and county HRA meeting after the presentation by the Friends of the Waterfront was the formation of a task force. So I can tell you the council is looking into that now, and we hope to get some movement on that. A task force. I like task force because there's an end. It's not just this open-ended that, you know, that just meets and meets and meets. You know, we would set goals and timelines, and there would be an end. Now, the task force would be composed of not just city councilors. It wouldn't be just an extension of the waterfront committee. There would certainly be a councilor or two there, but we're also looking at having representatives from the business community, representatives from the county, representatives from Lake County Soil and Water, as an example. We want to get folks in the room to get their perspective, get their thoughts, get their process through that, because that's just going to help us out.
And the window for when that happens, when the task force would actually convene, do you see that happening sooner than later, like 2025 for sure?
I have a sneaking suspicion that a task force will be formed this year, and we should have a healthy timeline. I guess my expectation would be that we form a task force this year and that we can set a timeline and start getting some things checked off of our list. So then obviously the goal of the task force would be at the end to make a recommendation to the council as a whole. And then again, that would be the council's decision. So there's a lot of, it's a crooked bag of snakes, and we're going to have to lay them out straight for a little while. And that's okay, because we can do these things. So.
And in your optimal scenario, you get this done while you're still completing your first term? Not to speak of terms, any
sure.
terms to come, your term as a counselor.
I would have the optimal goal of completing that, yes, before, you know, having at least the task force wrapped up by the end of my fourth year on the council in 2 years.
Honestly, it doesn't ever end, because even when you make a decision on the recommendations, then there's all the to-dos.
Right. Five years from now, I'll be revisiting my five-year plan. It's just how it works.
As I look at the clock on the recording wheel in front of me, Uriah, I know that I've got to wrap it up. I've got so many more questions, and I guess I'll just end with a question that is a little less relevant to your work as a counselor, which is, what do you see happening this Sunday, February 9th, when the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Philadelphia Eagles? And does it really matter to anyone in the audience who are all Vikings or Packers fans.
Sure. Well, I am a Kansas City native. I was born and raised there, so I am a Chiefs fan now. And I'm not – I've been accused lately of being a bandwagon Chiefs fan just because they've been winning of late. I would like the record to reflect that I remember the days of Bill Kenny and Steve DeBerg, and so I have been through many, many years of disappointment and playoff drought and everything that could possibly go wrong. So I have to that said, I hope the Chiefs win. Wouldn't be opposed to the Eagles winning. I know the Chiefs have the opportunity for a three-peat, which would make history in the NFL. So that's exciting. That opportunity is very cool to be a part of. And as much as I do hope the Chiefs win, you know, I kind of like seeing different teams win every year. I think parity is a good thing and variety is nice. But that being said, I hope we beat them by 50.
As a person who grew up as a New York Yankee fan, I know the whole thing about being called a bandwagon fan and dynasty chaser, et cetera. But I also was a New York Giants football fan, meaning that the Philadelphia Eagles were not high on my warm and fuzzy list. So I'm faced with the challenge. If I want the Chiefs to be unseated, I have to root for a team that I have never rooted for in my life. So wish me luck.
Yeah, it's, you know, I kind of got the same feeling from some friends of mine regarding the college national championship this year, because a lot of my friends, for some reason, are Michigan fans. And it was, you know, Ohio State and Notre Dame. And Michigan fans do not like either one of those teams at all. So a lot of them were rooting for the refs.
We will soon enough find out. Thanks, Uriah, for visiting with me today. I hope to have you back when there's some movement on any one of a number of the issues with housing and waterfront.
Sure. Give us a couple of months to get some stuff rolling, and I'd love to come back and give you some updates. That would be nice.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us today, Uriah Hefter, City Councilor, Ward 1, and City Council President now in 2025. It's a pleasure, and I hope we see you on the radio again soon.
Hopefully so. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Bye now. This is Leo Babeu providing City Council coverage here on KTWH.